We're continuing our series on love not the world. Love not the world. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. Love not the world. Turn to our foundation text, 1 John, chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. Reading down through verse 17, 1 John, the first epistle or letter of John, second chapter, beginning with verse 15, reading down through verse 17. And why not? Let's all read that again together, beginning with verse 15, and read. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. Verse 17. And the world is passing away along with those desires. But whoever does the will of God does what? Abide forever. I love the clear contrast. You can go in the world and all the things that are in the world. He said that's passing away. But whoever does, obeys the will of God, does what? Abide forever. That's why Jesus, one of the reasons the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, told Saul, obedience, obedience, obedience. Somebody say obedience. Is better than sacrifice. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He said, whoever does the will of God abides forever. Amen. We're going to pick up with verse 16. It's probably the shortest review in history of this church. So we're going to pick up with verse 16. We went over verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, verse 15, love not the world, anything that are in the world. We've talked about Demas last, right? Having forsaken Paul. Demas in the inner circle with Paul, a fellow laborer with Paul. He got a hold of the world. He had set his affection on the things of this world rather than things above. And what happened? He went out from us. Who's us Christians? Because he was not of us, of the household of faith. For Demas, if he had been of us, the household of faith, he would have continued. But he went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. And you know, God is gracious. That's even the grace of God too. Because we don't want fake, hypocritical Christians in the house. So it's the grace of God that he exposes them in keeping with the teaching of Jesus, saying that which is done in the closet of the house is going to be exposed on the roof. You only can fake it for so long. And then the Lord God exposes, and it's a grace when he does, because we, and I think you feel the same way, we want to be in the house amongst those who are really in the house, in the household of faith. And we're talking about the house, we're talking about the household of faith, that house. We want the household of faith to be outside the house. You can hear what I'm saying, because we're aliens, amen? Having said that, let's go to verse 16. Verse 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Yeah, and you can always stop me, Auntie, whenever. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Now, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We went over that. Look at verse 16. Look at the first clause of verse. For all that is in the world. That phrase is saying, this is a comprehensive summary of all that is in the world. This is a comprehensive, all-inclusive. In other words, this is all that's in the world and nothing beside this. This is coming from God Almighty, through the Holy Spirit, through the slave and apostle John to us, letting us know. You want to know what's all in the world? You want to know the summary, comprehensive, all-inclusive statement that tells you what's in the world? This is it. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride and possessions. That's it. And all of that is of the world and not from me. If that's not a mind-renovating thought, because we ooh with the world, ooh. But they say, hey, man, let me break this down. Man, that ain't nothing. All that's in the world is just some three things, and all that's going to pass away. Yeah. I love the just all comprehensive, and it's coming from God. He says, for all that is in the world, to cover completely. The word comprehensive means to cover completely, and it's all-inclusive, meaning nothing is left out. Nothing is left out. Now, what is in the world? Three things. Desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, pride and possessions. Let's go with the first one. Let's go over that. The desires of the flesh. The word desires is epithumia, and I'm going to put that up right quick. Epithumia. And it is an intense and strong desire. Epithumia. Okay. Intense and strong desire. And this epithumia. A strong craving, an intense desire, a passionate longing. That's our flesh, isn't it? Yeah. That's our flesh. It's not light. It's not a light. Oh, the flesh sort of kind of wants to maybe do this or not. No. It's screaming, it's yelling. When we talk about words like intense desire, strong craving, see the words, the adjectives modifying the verb, or adverbs rather, modifying the verbs. Intense desire, strong modifying craving, passionate modifying longing. Modifying means to describe. So, And if you know that, that's fine. I overteach, so I'm not trying to. So in the Greek, whenever you put an adjective, epi, in front of the verb is thumia, it intensifies the verb in Greek. So epi is the adjective that's been, preposition that's been added to this verb, intensifying the verb. So thumia is desires, cravings, longings. Epithumia is intense desire, strong cravings, passionate longings. You understand that? It intensifies the verb. So the flesh is not just whispering, it's demanding. You do this. You go after that girl even though you're married. Or you say those profane words even though you know your mouth praises God with the same tongue as James talks about. We bless men and bless God and curse men. You hit because you're angry. That's what's in the world, is an intense desire. Strong craving. And what is this? This is an intense desire, a strong craving, a passion, longing of the flesh. Of the flesh. The word flesh is the Greek word sarx. Sarx. S-A-R-X. Sarx. And that word, sarx, is the totally depraved nature that governs our reason, our will, and emotion. Totally depraved nature that governs our reason, our will, and our emotion. Notice the phrase totally depraved nature that governs that. So, and the reason you have to understand that is because there's no part of the nature that's good. It's totally depraved. Totally depraved nature. Every part of, meaning total means every part of your nature. Thoughts, passions, longings, intentions. Total depraved nature that governs an individual's reason, our will, and our emotion. That's why I talk about the anger. Talk about desires. When we talked about the series on the destructive effects of fleshly rule, when your flesh is ruling and those desires are crying out very loudly, then we are in trouble. Because it's not a whisper. It's demanding. Do this. Eat this. Say this. Look at that. Listen to that. The base animal instinct, like David, he saw it, just went, boom. Didn't think it through, just reacted. The devil trying to get Jesus to do the same. Turn these stones into bread. React. You're hungry. You've been without food 40 days. Provide for yourself. Get it yourself. Don't wait on God's provision. How many have we been caught up, times have been caught up in that? But okay, you know what? God, I need to eat by the day. I got late, man. I'm ready for this. I'm ready to eat now. So all that is in the world is desires of the flesh, the desires, craving, strong desire, passion, longing of the totally depraved nature. Just putting those two like that, I'll just say, you know what? I don't ever have no part of that. I don't ever get that caught up that this guy is this totally depraved nature that is unregenerate, unredeemed, is in charge and is screaming and demanding. I have my notes here. The depraved heart being at the root of this nature. The depraved heart is at the root of this nature. And that's scary because you know what Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and it is exceedingly perverse, corrupt, and severely mortally sick. That's amplified. Jeremiah 17:9 again, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly perverse and corrupt and severely mortally sick. Who can know it, perceive it, understand it, be acquainted with his own heart and mind, which we are not acquainted with our own heart and mind to that degree because of sin. It's scary to be comfortable, and when you say, I know deep down in my heart that this is true or this is true, you ought to be shaking in your boots when you say something like that. Especially as a Christian, understanding that the heart is deceitful and perverse and exceedingly corrupt. All this ought to just tell us, don't rely on yourself. Shut up when you're emotional. I always have warned you, especially in romances, you need to do your homework before you get romantically involved, because once those emotions are out there, I've been preaching that since the 90s, and I broke all the rules. I stopped class. I'm going to say the Lord did. Stopped what I was teaching, what subject matter, academic subject matter. But I went to the board and was teaching my eighth graders about emotions. I remember drawing on the board a can of canned goods, and then I told them that if you were to take a can opener and go around the rim of that and open that can, you can never seal that can back once it's open. And I told them, once you release your emotions, once you open your can of emotions, try to teach seventh graders and eighth graders, once you open those can of emotions and they're let out, you cannot put them back in the can. They're released and they tend to guide you. Whether that is in romance, but not only in romantic things or things of that nature, but it's when your emotions are out there, you are a danger to yourself and to the kingdom at that moment. Not fatally speaking. I'm talking about spiritually speaking, maybe in the fatal naturally, but this gotta be careful. Here, Holy Spirit, emotions are rising. You're starting to get upset. Your temperature is rising. Hear Holy Spirit. Hear Holy Spirit. Hear Holy Spirit. And don't trust yourself. Oh, I got this. I can handle this. No. No, you can't. Your flesh, apart from the Holy Spirit, will mop the floor with you. We're no match for our flesh. Apart from the Holy Spirit. Our totally depraved nature. Ain't nothing good in there. Remember Apostle Paul? In me that is in my flesh, sarks, dwelleth no good thing. Now, let's ask a real question. How many know when their temperature is starting to rise concerning their anger or their emotions? Yeah. You know that. So what you got to do, thank God for that. First of all, I see my emotions are starting to rise. Thank you, Lord. Now, I got power, if you're born again, to do something about it. I don't have to just let it just rise on like helium. I got power to do something about it. I got a promise and a command, actually, in 1 Corinthians 9:27. I buffet my body. I make it my slave. I master it. It does not master me. 1 Corinthians 9:27. You have promises. 2 Corinthians 10:3, 4, and 5. That's where you can control your thoughts. Kick those thoughts out of your mind. You can do that by the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of Almighty God. We don't have to give in to the desires of our totally depraved nature. We don't have to give in. But the Lord God is telling us, let me break it down to you before you get too happy about the oohs and ahs that the world is showing you. He said that these three things are all that's there. Ain't nothing good in none of them. Desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. Realize it's going to come under one of those three categories. And none of it is good. And it's all going to pass away. For what? A few moments of I told her, didn't I? But you slap God and step all on him in telling her. In getting your way, you stomped on God, sort of say. You grieved the Holy Spirit. You quenched the Holy Spirit. Grieved him because of our wrong actions. Quenching him by not listening to what he's saying and stopping him from operating in your life. You can quench his power from working in your life. How? By letting your emotions and the strong cravings take over. He's quenching. He's telling you, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't listen to that. These are nuts and bolts of walking with the Lord until you die. With longevity. Sometimes we're looking for the super duper natural. Want some unlock like oom and some great big. When it's just simple things of, you know what, shut up. Just be quiet. Go off somewhere. Simple thing as that. Oh man, that ain't exciting. Yes, it is to the Lord, because you're going to give him glory when you don't say what you want to say, when you keep your flesh under control, when you beat your body black and blue and make it your slave. That brings me glory. You're here for me, not for you. I want to be entertained and want something exciting and want something ooh and ah. When it's just a grind, I'm just doing stuff every day. Same old. Oh, I feel my flesh rising. Thank you, Lord. Let me not speak to this person right now. Not saying childish. If it's for to preserve your grace, the grace, rather, that God has placed upon your life, then you may need to go another way for a minute. And I'm talking about being childish and being revengeful, and I ain't going to speak dirty, you ain't speak, I'm not talking about that. But to preserve the glory of God and the honor of God first and foremost, you got to do whatever you need to do, biblically speaking. Does that make sense? I am not telling you as pastor to be vengeful and silly about I ain't speaking to her. I'm not saying that. But at all costs, let's bring him glory. And if it's at our sacrifice, then so be it. So be it. What are some of these desires of the flesh? Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 19. You know this. And when I tell you what they are, I hope you will further be turned off by ever wanting any part of the flesh. Now, like I said, there are portions and parts and facets and aspects of the world that is going to still try to pull you toward that you will be attracted to. Do you understand what I'm saying? But as a overall comprehensive, all-inclusive loving of the world, that's not going to happen because you're a child of God. But there are pieces of it that's going to holler at you, and you're going, ooh-wee, that's looking kind of good. Looking kind of tasty. Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh, the works are acts and deeds and actions of the flesh are evident, which is clear and obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. Notice all that deals with sex for the most part, the first right off the rip. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. I mean, that sounds like some for people's workplace. Oh, Lord. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are some of the works of the flesh. The flesh demands to be immoral, impure, sensuality, sensuous, want to serve other gods, idolatry, sorcery, relying on other things except the power of the Holy Spirit, enmity and opposition and strife and jealousy, fits of anger. That's what the flesh wants, what it wants when it wants it. And when it doesn't get it, anger, rage, even. I think haven't some folks been killed over the fact that they didn't want to wear a mask? Is that true or not?
That is true.
And that's what I thought. That is awesome. Did I just want what I want? Lead to your own death. When I tell you, totally brave. Wow. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're looking at some of the desires of the flesh. What it desires. Isn't that something? The flesh desires to be drunk. That's amazing. To the point of throwing up. And then do it again the next night. And the next night. And the next night. It desires to be chaotic and just oppose everybody. I remember one person said, he said, I ain't prejudiced, I hate everybody. Wow. If you think about these desires, look at 2 Timothy, it gets worse. We realize this that in the last day, difficult, chapter 2 Timothy 3 and 1, difficult times will come, not might come, not arching your favor. They will come. For men will be, here's what, hold on. Intense desire, strong cravings, passive longings for themselves. You see that? Men will be lovers of themselves. And they're loving themselves with an intense desire, strong craving, and a passionate longing with a totally depraved nature, and will step on everybody and everything else to get what they want. We're seeing that in full effect in this society. People are lovers of themselves. That's at the root of, and I haven't, the Honorable Lord has told me to change that, saying that. At the root of all the other things that come after that, at the root of all of that is the first one, lovers of themselves. And I believe the fact that it was said first by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to Timothy is by design. Because at the root of all of that is, because I want what I want, is selfishness. Men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money, because money gets you things for yourself. Boastful, boasting in what the money that got you for yourself. Arrogant, feeling prideful and whatever because of what you had gotten for yourself. Revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. Because if what you say and what you don't agree with me, then I ain't trying to get along with you. By the way, that's where they're at the root of the homosexual and transgender movement. The revolutionaries are saying disagreement equals hate. Disagreement equals hate. And what that is, that's beautifully sown by Satan to make sure there is no reconciliation. So I'm going to keep saying it over and over. It's out there so thick and strong. You disagree with me, you hate me. Instead of saying, hey, two people can disagree. You believe one thing, I believe. Let me believe what I believe, you believe what you believe. Then move on. I'm not trying to convince you into Christianity, because only God can do that. I mean, I'm going to live a life before you and love you. And don't convince me to the homosexual agenda. You just believe what you believe. It's simple. But that's not. You know, if you don't understand who's running this world, I actually said it to a teacher today at the opportunity. I said, man, he said, well, why is it? I was telling him about Tony Temple, white folks suffering at the hands of police just as much as black people, and how that's not covered like that. He said, why? He said, well, why is that? You know, I said, hey, you asking me? There's only one reason. It's because of sin. I said, because the God of this world, small g, is running things. He's running the media, running the public school systems, the medical systems, running the political system. He's running it. He came back to me later, because it's a little different. He said, I like the small g. I heard you. I said, yes, sir. Plant a seed. Plant a seed. Small case G-O-D of this world. Amen. So we're arrogant, boastful, without self-control. I was going to say something else and I lost what I was going to say. Lord, bring it back. Irreconcilable. Well, we talked about that. Yeah, that was it. That you just, we're not going to reconcile. The seeds have been planted. You must completely, not only agree, but accept all of what I'm trying to tell you before I will say to you, we are friends. We can get along. Until then, there's no getting along. That's by design. Satan is the author of confusion and division. He sows discord amongst the brothers and sisters. That's what CNN and others who don't report the murder. I don't know if you all knew that right around when the latest person was killed, black guy was killed in Minnesota, there was a white guy killed right around the same time. For the first time, I finally got a hold of that. Same 16 years old, honor student, killed in his driveway. Now, he was doing something crazy, may have warned him, but you know how it is. When it's black, we don't care what it is. The dude could be pointing a real gun at the police. That ain't right. But it was a white guy killed. We didn't know nobody. I don't know how I found out about it. But at the same time, I said, uh-huh. He's sowing discord and division and chaos. You know, the world is heading exactly as Satan wants it to head, into just absolute ruin and chaos and disorder and confusion and fear. And he's successfully doing that by tearing apart the molecular structure, the cellular foundational structure of the society, which is what? Huh? The family. Once I can tear that up, I can tear everything else up. Because that was the glue that held everything together, was family. And when you can teach little ones your filth, then they'll learn to be irreconcilable. They'll become malicious gossips without self-control. Aren't we seeing that? Children without self-control, brutal, haters of good. You mean the flesh desires to hate that which is good? Yes, because it's totally depraved. Maybe we'll get a better understanding of what these three words mean. It's completely evil. It's unregenerate. You would say, well, how can somebody just desire to hate what is good? Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. That's why your nature is dead to the things of God. We understand even the behind the scenes of why. Because they're spiritually dead. They can't understand the things of God. Sure, they're going to hate things of God. Haters of good. They are intense haters of good. Haters are good, brutal. Verse 4, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Holding to a form that's the outward, external of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Meaning, outwardly, they look like, we're talking about that all of a sudden, look like Christians. They look like it. But inside, raggedy lives. Behind the scenes, raggedy lives. Same way of thinking, no real transformation. The flesh desires, has a strong craving to be hypocritical. It desires that on purpose, intentional. Isn't that something? Person is on purpose, intentional, strongly desiring to be a hypocrite. When I tell you the devil's in the pulpit as much as the preachers, yeah, that's serious. He desires to destroy. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you are a child of the devil, then that's your main aim too, to kill, steal, and destroy. Romans chapter 1, we'll leave, we'll close right here. Romans chapter 1. Verse 24. Still talking about the desires of the flesh. And this is ugly as well. We could have stopped at the first one, Galatians. We could have stopped at 2 Timothy. But we're just going to just pile it on. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Let me know, Mom, when you got it. You good? Therefore, God gave them up. Now, why did he do that? Because they didn't want to acknowledge God, pay attention to God. Look at verse 23 and 22 and 21. They didn't want to acknowledge him as God. It says that God revealed himself to them through nature so that they were without excuse. But they're saying, nope to God. I don't want nothing with you. I think about 9/11 when everybody wanted to start singing God Bless America. It's like, we don't want nothing from you. Just bless us. Just protect us from another attack. That's basically what that was all about. Just real talk. It wasn't like, oh, we're getting more holy. We really want God. No, we only want what you can do for me to maintain my fleshly desires. Don't interrupt my life. Just protect me while I do my thing. That's real talk. That's why I'm teaching you all, as I was telling teacher today. I said at Word of Life, we're teaching the people of God how to think biblically. Instead of being a receptacle for just anybody to pour into your mind and heart, but to be discerning, to decipher, to distinguish between two. That's what the word discriminate means. To discriminate means to distinguish between two or more as this is good, that's not good, this is good, that's okay, I'll sit over there, I'll get more about that. You know what I'm saying? Don't let stuff just fall in your mind through your ear gate or eye gate. Be discerning. Verse 24, God therefore gave them up because of their attitude in verses 21, 22, 23. In the lust, there that word again, of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies amongst themselves. Now, I believe in order, when there are lists, I've taught you that. I believe there's an order to that. There's a reason to that particular order. When there are numbers mentioned, there's a reason for that. So at the beginning of this list, it says God gave them up in the lust, desires, and cravings, and intense desires and passions of their hearts to impurity. Now, God gave them up means, literally, it's called the wrath of what's the opposite of active? Passive, yes. It's passive wrath. Gave them up means to literally move out of the way and let you do what you've been striving and fighting and banging to do. I was trying to have a little mercy on you and keep you from this because I know what the end result is. So if you think about this door, hope it's closed. It may not stay closed, but I'm pushing against the door. Pushing against the door, and God is holding on the other side. To give them up and turn them over is to step away from the door and we push on open. That's where the verse in Genesis chapter 6 rather, and I think about verse 3, he says that he's not, we'll turn there right quick. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. Speaking of striving and fighting with man, trying to keep them from doing what he doesn't want them to do. Genesis 5. Did I say 6 or mean? Genesis 6. Yeah. Yeah. Genesis 6 and 3. 6 and 3. Now, ESV says, shall not remain in man forever. There's some various interpretations on that. So I'd like the New American Standard. I think I'm going to kind of go back to them. I like this. But and verse 3 said, then the Lord said, reading out the New American, my spirit shall not strive with man. Strive with man. It says, some says, or rule in man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years, which is how long it took for Noah to build the ark. So I've been standing behind this door, trying to keep you from doing your evil and your dirt. He said, but the day is coming, I'm not going to keep doing that. I'm giving 120 years in which, what did Noah, he was a preacher of righteousness, remember in the New Testament. He preached the word while he's building the ark. So God even then was gracious, gave him opportunity. 120 years went by. Nope, probably laughed at Noah, made fun of him. What is rain? Ain't nothing been no rain because the ground was missed, just water on the ground. No rain. Laughed at him probably, made fun of him, mocked him. And the Lord God just moved out of the way. Now here, you do have the active wrath of God because he caused the rain to come down. But if you go back to Romans chapter 1, thank you. Romans chapter 1, you'll see there that God gave them over. And I mentioned that like 3 times, I think, in that section of 24 to like 29. So verse 24, God gave them up, which means to give them over, which means move out of the way to let them do whatever they wanted to do. And what was the first thing that happened? They dishonored their bodies because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So be it. For this reason, God gave them up second time to dishonorable passions. Now it goes into more detail of verse 24 when it says that he gave them up to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies. Well, how did they dishonor their bodies? Women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. I don't know how clear that is, how much more clear that can be. That's crystal clear. But notice the first thing that happens, and I do believe in order. The first thing that happened was homosexuality and lesbianism. Is that not absolutely rampant in America? Is it not at an all-time high? By far. Red, brown, yellow, black, or white, young or old, rich or poor, doesn't make a difference. It's rampant. Go back to verse 18. Romans 1:18. Verse 18 says, for this reason the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, something like that. Well, what does it say? Verse 18.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men.
Yeah,
who suppress
the truth. So look at the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. The wrath of God. So this is, in keeping with that context, this is the wrath of God being put on display. The passive wrath, verse 24, he gave them up. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up. The passive wrath of God, and it led to what they wanted. Remember, there is the passive wrath of God. Remember when it talks about the itching ears, they'll stack up teachers, and he's going to let them believe that and send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Yeah, he just gets out of the way. You're pushing against this door that I'm trying to keep you from coming through. And then after a while, he just gets out of the way. And when it happens, what goes rampant? What's the first thing? Homosexuality and lesbianism. Is it safe to say that America is definitely under the passive wrath of God? I think 100%. I don't think it's a stretch. Look at the order. Are we not seeing this at an all-time high? Look at verse 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them a third time to a debased mind. And that's a mind that doesn't work. It's like something that's broken. It doesn't operate properly. To do what ought not to be done. What did that lead to? And they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness. Are we seeing all manner of unrighteousness? People flying planes into buildings. Who does that? I mean, child sex slavery is just so disturbing. You got 5-year-olds out there. It's just beyond. Ungodly. All manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God. Insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. It's not enough to do the evil that's been going on for years. Let me invent some new ways. That's why the cyber book, stealing and all that, they got to keep picking up because they find a new way to steal and make phone calls and get you to give out your stuff when they got to tell you, we don't do that, the IRS don't. I mean, they're just coming up with new ways. Word of God says inventors of evil. Disobedient to parents. Huh? Are you kidding me? The government is even backing that. You wouldn't have a sex change operation? You wouldn't have to even tell your parents in some states. I'm talking about you're under 18. You can be 16, 15. You can have a sex change and without telling your parent. They're taking the power away from parents. So if parents try to come in, who is you? They're encouraging disobedience to parents. There's a move now that's coming out. The government wants to start preschool daycare. At 3 years old, you said, well, that's a good thing. Nope, it's to get the mother out of the house and into the workforce. Because the more people that's working, the better the economy goes. It's all about money. And if the parent is gone out of the house at three, then you're further giving the government control over your child. Because whenever they put their hand in the kitty, they're going to want some return on that investment. And your child is the return that they want. And in particular, to control the mind of that child. It's insidious. It seems juicy on the beginning, but when you see it from a biblical worldview, no, that's further destroying the nuclear family, which is what Satan is after. Tear up the husbands, get the fathers out there, get the wives out of there and mothers, and let the kids be on them, and we'll take care of your kids. We'll take it from here. That's scary. I don't have any good news for you. I really don't. It's not going to all of a sudden see a move of the family coming back together. That's not going to happen. That's why you better fight for those that God has put near you. Hug on your daughters and your granddaughters and your nieces and nephews real tight as best you can and live godly before them. Plant that seed. Because brother, sister, let me tell you, your little darling, your little daughter, your niece, or your female cousin is going to be in a bathroom and it's going to be legal for a dude to walk up in there just because he claims that he's a female. And you can't say nothing about it. And your little girl going to be traumatized, your little female cousin, niece, whatever, traumatized over that mess. Talking about inventors of evil and insolent, haughty, haters of God. Can you imagine your daughter wrestling a guy in high school because they claim to be a girl and they can wrestle against other girls? Disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they knew God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. That's what the flesh desires. That's the desires of the flesh. After reading all of this, you ought to feel like you need to go home and take a shower with Clorox. Because it's just yucky. One last thing and we're done. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. We're done here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. I'm going to start reading. I know it's late. And do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral. First on that list. Sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality. Look at that. All sexual for the first part of the first. Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. That's what's in the world. We just looked at the first part. The lusts and the desires of the flesh. And doesn't that fit? If we talk about that the flesh is a totally depraved nature, the base animal instinct, totally depraved nature that governs mind, will, and emotion. You can see why it would be haters of slanders, insolent, haughty, haters of God, haters of good. There's no good in the flesh. We want no parts of that, y'all. No parts of it. And any part that the devil tried to tell you, well, this ain't so bad. Come on and holler at that, just a little something. It ain't, you know, it's just a little something. But Lord God, please bring this sermon back up into how ugly and terrible those things sound, reckless and implacable and whatever, where you can't get together, irreconcilable. I refuse to hate good. I mean, to love good. I want to hate good. and want to hate God. Haters of God. Father God, you read these lists, they're so disturbing that I hope it makes it, I hope that it turns the stomach of our spirit, man, that we never want to do, have anything to do with the world, the system that's run by a demonic, evil, God-hating, good-hating ruler. We stand on your word, Father God. We stand for you. We will not give up. We will not give out. And we will not give in to the things of this world, including the lusts and intense cravings and desires of the flesh, the lusts and intense cravings and passionate longings of the eyes, and the intense longings of that which we possess, and making it our God and boasting of it over you. Because all of that is not sourced and is not founded in you, Father. It is sourced and founded in the world and its system and its ruler. Greater, stronger, mightier is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling into this mess and to keep us from falling and to present us faultless for the presence of your glory, Father God. May you do this with exceeding joy. You are our only wise God and Savior. To you be glory and majesty, dominion and power. All of it belongs to you, both right now in time and forevermore throughout the eternity of eternities, infinity and beyond. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' holy, mighty, and majestic name. And the people of God said, amen.